these falsehoods. So call us at 813-239-9663. Text us at 813-433-0885. Email us at dj@wmnf.org. We are going to go to an NPR break here in less than a minute, but we do have a text message from Rob in St. Pete.
The one I have is from Margaret.
Oh, let me read the one from Rob first. And yeah. So, Miss D inspires me. I love her and Bernie, another proud progressive that just wanted to say thanks. Can you please ask Miss D if she watches the Young Turks on YouTube? Thanks, crew, Rob and St. Pete. So, Miss D, you'll have to answer that question later. And then, go ahead with Mama T's text real quick before the imperial break.
Says, the change I would make to her statement, it says Mama T's right, the change I would make to her statement is the real hate in America is against poor people and the ones who perceived cost this country money. It happens to be that of many.
All right,
of those.
We'll go back. We'll return after the imperial break.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. House lawmakers have opened an investigation into this month's attack on the U.S. Capitol. In a letter to the heads of the leading intelligence agencies, lawmakers asked for any information that could help them understand whether warning signs were missed. NPR's Matthew Schwartz reports.
Lawmakers want to know who in the intelligence community knew about the threats of violence and whether that information was shared with the right people. Capitol Police have said they were unprepared for the ferocity of the attack, which left one of its officers dead. The letter states, security and logistical preparations were not consistent with the prospect of serious and widespread violence. It was signed by the heads of the Intelligence, Judiciary, Oversight, and Homeland Security Committees. Lawmakers are also trying to suss out any potential collaborators within the government itself. They've asked for any intelligence about people with security clearances who might have participated in the insurrection. Matthew Schwartz, NPR News, Washington.
With Inauguration Day approaching, Washington, D.C. and state capitals around the country are preparing for potential violence. Minnesota Public Radio's Brian Bask reports that the Capitol building in St. Paul is ringed in fencing and a stepped-up presence of law enforcement will last well into next week.
Minnesota's capital is among those that the FBI says should be on guard for demonstrations by militant groups, although state leaders say they have uncovered no credible threats. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan says officials aren't taking any chances.
We are not panicking. We are concerned. We are alert. And we are prepared.
A National Guard unit has joined members of the State Patrol and local law enforcement in an effort to deter violence in the run-up to the presidential inauguration. For NPR News, I'm Brian Baxton, St. Paul.
To Texas now, where Dallas County is reporting the first confirmed case of the new and more contagious coronavirus variant. From member station KERA in Dallas, Stella Chavez reports that this is the third such case reported in Texas.
Genetic sequencing has determined that a 20-year-old man from Dallas has the virus caused by a new variant. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins says the man is isolated and in stable condition.
Our patient zero had no outside of the United States travel, so we don't know exactly where he might have gotten it from, but it's inevitable when you live in an urban area with a big hub for transportation that you're going to get this.
Scientists say the new variant is 70% more contagious, but they don't believe it's more deadly. Texas reported its first such case on January 7th in Houston. For NPR News, I'm Stella Chavez in Dallas.
And this is NPR News. The Russian opposition activist Alexei Navalny is bound for Moscow. Navalny has left Berlin despite the threat of arrest upon his return to Russia. He told reporters when boarding his flight that he is an innocent person. He accuses Russian President Vladimir Putin of using the arrest threat to deter him from returning home. Navalny was treated in Germany after he was poisoned in August. A television show streamed the most in 2020 was The Office. That's according to year-end numbers from Nielsen. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports nearly all of the programs were on Netflix.
The Office, Grey's Anatomy, and NCIS were the top three acquired shows. In this case, basically reruns you had to watch in 2020 on Netflix. Top original shows included Tiger King, The Crown, and Ozark, about a family man forced into high-stakes crime.
I'm going to try to pull together $8 million to pay back what Bruce stole. What we're not going to
do is... Do we even have that much?
Well,
Ozark and Lucifer were the number one and number two most-watched original shows. The Mandalorian was the only non-Netflix program. Disney Plus dominated streaming movies last year. Most popular, Frozen 2 and Moana.
Moana, make way!
Netta Ulibi, NPR News.
A team of climbers from Nepal made history this weekend. They're the first to successfully climb Pakistan's K2 in the winter season. K2, the world's second highest peak after Mount Everest and the most prominent on the Pakistani side of the Himalayan range. Dozens of people on the mountain attempting to make the summit. One of them, a Spanish climber, fell to his death yesterday. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Kauffman Foundation, working together with communities to break down barriers and prepare all people for success in their jobs and careers as employees or entrepreneurs. More online at kauffman.org.
You no longer need a radio station, a radio to listen to WMNF. Of course, you can still hear us at the 88.5 FM. You can also stream WMNF at WMNF.org, listen to the WMNF app, or tell your smart speaker to play WMNF.
Welcome back.
Yeah, man, how you doing?
Come on,
you good?
I know you like that. I know you like that.
Welcome back. And so welcome back to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. This is your host, Joshua. We got Coach Don in the house, and we got a great conversation about everything that's been happening in the past 2 weeks, otherwise known as an extension of 2020. And so so we do have a caller who's been patiently waiting. We'll get to you in a second, caller. But I'm going to continue with what we've been kind of like that chronological order. We talked about January 5th, the U.S. Senate in Georgia. We're now talking about January 6th. And so in my opinion, people like Rudy Giuliani and others should face consequences for inciting the mob. Now, I haven't heard the entire speech that President Trump gave. I only saw tidbits. So I'm not, I can't say that he 100% for certain incited the riot based on what I've seen. However, there were, I'm going to read a direct quote from Rudy Giuliani on the Stop the Steal protest.
I know what you're going to say.
And so I couldn't find the video, but I'm going to read the quote. Over the next 10 days, we get to see the machines that are crooked, the ballots that are fraudulent. If we're wrong, we will be made fools of. But if we're right, a lot of them will go to jail. Let's have trial by combat. So those were the words of Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney at the Stop the Steal protest right before the protest moved over to the Capitol Hill and became a riot.
Do you know what he was referring to after they questioned him about that?
No.
He said, I was referring to the Game of Thrones series.
Interesting. Okay.
Trial by combat. He would, that's where the reference point.
That's terrible.
Really? You are... an attorney.
That's terrible. So the New York State Bar Association has actually launched an inquiry into disqualifying Rudy Giuliani as a membership on Monday. So think about this. This was America's mayor, the most beloved political figure after 9/11. And, you know, to his credit, he did a great job after 9/11.
Yes.
And then he has just become this obscure
lost his mind.
And so there was other folks there too. That, and so I want to get, there's a, not all the Stop the Steal protesters were white, obviously the vast majority of them, but there were people of color there represented as well. And so one of the main activists is actually, his name is Ali Alexander. And so he, by, according to this Washington Post article, Alexander, who organized the Stop the Steal movement, said he hatched the plan coinciding with Congress's vote to certify the Electoral College votes alongside three GOP lawmakers, Representative Andy Biggs from Arizona, Mo Brooks from Alabama, and Paul Gosar from Arizona, who are all hardline Trump supporters. Supposedly, and this is being investigated by the authorities, supposedly, the Capitol is currently on lockdown because of coronavirus. There can be no tours of the Capitol building, but supposedly, GOP representatives, I don't know if it was these three, but GOP representatives actually gave personal tours to participants of Stop the Steal on January 5th, the day before the Stop the Steal protest occurred. And then on top of it, and I'm going to play a little clip here, this because this is fantastic. So talking about people who say this was not, there was no planned insurrection, there is definitely elements of this protest that were 100% planned, maybe by a small cohort of people yet to be investigated. There's over 250 people facing federal charges right now or investigations. So let me play this clip from the infamous bullhorn lady.
Hey, guys, I've been in the other room. Listen to me. In the other room on the other side of this door, right here where these feet are standing, there is a glass that if it's broken, you can drop down into a room underneath it. There's also two doors in the other room. One at the rear and one to the right when you go in. So people should probably coordinate together if you're going to take this building.
So there you heard it. We need to coordinate together if we're going to take this building. The intent was to take the building by some, if not all of them. And this is not getting into conspiracy, but a lot of people have been saying that this lady with the bullhorn was actually the mother of Lauren Boebert, who is a first-time GOP woman congressman, QAnon conspirator, as well as one of the GOP congressmen who has a permit to have a gun. And she was up in arms after they put metal detectors on January 7th. They put metal detectors to get into the house,
right,
into the floor of the house. And she was one of the people protesting that that infringement upon her rights to have a gun. So this, again, is this so many things going on. Photos of former Air Force colonels with zip ties. And so it's just... This was maybe not all of them, but there was definitely an element of the protesters that were there to cause damage and overtake that
building. Let's go back. This lady said, I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down and break the glass, you can drop down to the... She is giving instructions
on how to take over that building.
And we have to organize and coordinate and do it together so we can take this building?
And so,
how is that not admitting to
sedition?
Okay, you know what? You know what? Trump did say his followers are stupid. He did say that he loves the dumb ones. I guess because they were all out there with no mask, taking pictures as if they weren't going to get caught.
Yeah.
This is not.
People were bragging. I mean, there was photos of people there's a JW Marriott not far from Capitol Hill. They're in the lobby of the JW Marriott having drinks with all their regalia still on them, celebrating and sharing pictures of the event.
They've done. It's just some kind of slow.
And so for anybody, for any of our listeners out there, have no doubt that this was a seditious movement. Because think about it this way. An entire branch of the federal government was under siege for about 6 hours. Think about the chain of succession. The vice president of the United States and the speaker of the House, who are two and three in the chain of succession, were in that building.
In that building.
When this happened and had to be put in a safe house. And I read that Pence was only 100 yards away from protesters in his safe room.
But that's what I'm saying. Think about this. That if Trump had his rally... knowing Pence, Pelosi, and all the other senators were in the Capitol, and you sent them down there, what did you think they were going to do when they get there? Like, what was the plan?
And then it gets even more complicated because then the vice president and several other congressional leaders were going outside the chain of command to try to get the National Guard activated. Apparently, again,
they were denied.
Anecdotally, we don't have hard evidence of this yet, but it's been reported that the president denied this for several hours, and then ultimately Vice President Pence had to step in with the Secretary of Defense to be able to activate the National Guard in D.C. because the mayor of D.C. does not have those powers. It has to be done by the federal government. And so it's just absolutely overwhelming to me. We have a caller who's been very patiently waiting. Let me get to this caller real quick. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Hi, Yes.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, Billy.
How you doing?
Doing good. Finally got you on a good line. I'm sorry about that.
Yes, good.
So I'm sure you got lots of thoughts, Billy. Let's try to keep them succinct because we got two more callers.
Okay. So when we look at this thing, you know, the thing that we can't exclude is that collaboration, that this is an insurrection, and that people, talking about getting it, people are going to have to be punished for this. Okay. We have to begin to look at those collaborators, particularly those on the inside. We look at the lady with the bullhorn, her relationship to her daughter. That congressman, Bulbert, I think her name is, and another one.
Correct, yes.
Madison.
And again, this has not been proven yet, but it's claimed that Lauren Bobert's mother was the lady with the bullhorn.
If, in fact, this is true, okay, if in fact that there was this collaboration, these members need to be expelled. When you see Joe Manchin today, just saw it on WEDU TV, and also yesterday, saying that members such as Ted Cruz and Hawley need to be investigated and expelled, there must be punishment here. Because this is something that we did during this, at least part of the Civil War, but unfortunately, we pardoned those folks who bore arms against this country and allowed them back into.
So Billy, question.
We should.
Billy, I have a question for you on Hawley and Ted Cruz, and even our very own Rick Scott, who voted against the Pennsylvania electoral count. Question for you now. Say there's no proof that they participated in the Stop the Steal, that they were, you know, I'm trying to flip the coin here, right? They are saying that they constitutionally have the right to go ahead and object to those, to that electoral vote count. So should they be expelled for their constitutional right?
Well, there's not a constitutional right here. It's like, and I think that Hawley and Cruz is a professor. Were on TV and said that taught them both legislation and law. And clearly their actions violated the Constitution. So they're not protected by the Constitution. They violated a constitutional process. Listen, I have to make this example again. It's like you winning the Super Bowl game 35-6, and a team that gets six wants a Lombardi trophy. These people not only did. You can raise the Constitution, all you want, but these people bore arms against the legislative constitutional process that was taking place in the United States Capitol and killed folks and murdered a police officer and several other people got killed in this process and a large amount of police people were killed, and this insurrection, as it is called, was televised. There must be consequences in here. You can't let a guy like Giuliani run his mouth off and say, "Hey, you know, we need to use arms," and then say that he was
trial by combat.
trial by combat. What was his audience thinking about the game? They weren't thinking about the Games of Thrones. Yeah. In fact, they acted it out. Well, you can't talk about the other collaborators that got on that stage on the White House, and then these people came in. It doesn't matter. They bore arms, carrying a stick, carrying a baseball bat is an arm. If you were Black Lives Matter, or better yet, a Puerto Rican Lives Matter, and you would have showed up there with a baseball bat, you know?
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have made it that far.
You wouldn't even made it that far.
No.
You would have had a boy. I'd be here trying to identify you using your dental record. Okay?
Yeah.
So the consequences here have to be paid. And more importantly, one of the clear ways of remedying this crisis is very simple. We need to expand the union here, our mighty union. We need to admit five states into this union to break the southern threshold on the Senate. We need to add Washington, D.C. in here. We need to bring Puerto Rico into statehood. We need to bring U.S. Virgin Island into statehood. We need to bring the Northern Marianas in statehood.
And American Samoa.
and American Samoa. I have it written down. Mm-hmm. If you read my blog, youarewithinthenorms.com, you will see there's an article that addresses this issue about what Joe Biden should be saying in his
inaugural speech.
His inaugural address. And these are the things that we need to do. We'll bring 10 senators, and then we'll have representative government. And the reason, let me just say something simple. These little territories send more folks into the armed forces than some of these states like North Dakota and Wyoming and stuff. So why should they be left out of nothing? That's one fair way of remedying this sort of...
I got to let you go because I got two other calls I got to get to. But it's great to hear from you this morning.
Didn't want
to
frighten you. It's too bad here, so... All right. Didn't want to frighten you, all right? All right, so I'll let y'all get back in peace, okay?
Great hearing from you today, Billy. You take care.
Yeah. You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And so that was Billy, a long-time caller, long-time listener. Again, you can call us at 813-239-9663 or text 813-433-0885 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. We do have an email from Jeff, and Jeff is saying, the email is titled Choices. Either the Democrats turn more progressive and start serving the people, or a strong third party emerges to serve the people. If neither of these things happen, you might see the rise of a Trump party, and that could be powerful. And Jeff, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I agree that that is a very likely outcome based on the way what we're seeing here. And so let's get to another caller. Callers, we're coming up on the end of the show, so let's keep our thoughts succinct and short here, please. Good morning, caller. What is your name, and where are you calling us from?
Good morning. My name's Jade.
Hey, Jade, call me right back because this is a bad line. I'm sorry. Call me right back.
Okay, sorry.
And so we'll get to Jade in here as soon as he calls back. Yeah, that line one seems to be faulty. Let's get to another caller. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Greetings, gentlemen. It's Clay from Land O'Lakes.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I know we're ending the show. We're coming close to the end of the show, and you'll have additional callers. So let me run through a few of these things. You know, Warnock and Ossoff are two great additions to the Senate, with the Reverend being is going to become the soul of the Senate. That guy rocks.
That's a good thought, yeah.
Yeah, he rocks. So, I want you to remember back when there were attacks on federal buildings and statues were being taken down on federal property, that Attorney General Barr told the AGs around the country to seek sedition charges against BLM and Antifa for destruction of federal property. Nothing done by these groups compared to what these insurrectionists did in laying siege to the Capitol building with the Congress inside. And their intent was to capture and take hostage and maybe even kill some of these folks.
Allegedly, right? You know, not yet proven in court, but
okay.
I agree with you, but I have to say allegedly because it hasn't been proven yet.
Let's look at the range of charges of people who have been charged with things. Unlawful entry into a building, unlawful entry into a secure area, trespass. Nobody's been charged with what they all should be charged with, which is sedition. That's what they're guilty of. They're seditionists, and not only should they be charged with it, but all those people in Congress who have helped them out should be expelled from Congress, and they should be charged with sedition. This is an attack on our Democratic Republic and on our Constitution by these people. They did not have... Yeah, they weren't there just to protest. They were there to stop a process from going forward. They felt if they could stop that process from going forward, then Trump could stay in office. That's what this was about.
Yeah,
if anybody doesn't understand what white privilege is, look how these people are being treated because they're white people. You know, that tells you what.
And Clay, to back up your point even further, on January 6th, my understanding is there was only 26 arrests on the Capitol on that day, out of 35,000 people that stormed the Capitol.
Not even that, but later in the night when they set a curfew at 6:30, at 10 p.m., these people were still parading the streets, reported on NPR, and yet they weren't being arrested. And by this time, the National Guard was there and everything. How do you let them all walk around? You should be arrested for nothing else, a curfew violation.
Exactly. I agree.
The BLM and Antifa. So if you don't understand white privilege, this shines a glaring light on what white privilege is.
And thank you for calling it out. Yeah.
That's fake news. They don't believe that. Fake news.
And the point also is that had this been Antifa and Black Lives Matter or groups of people of color who rushed the Capitol like that,
yeah,
the Capitol steps would have run red with blood.
Yeah, it would have been bad. And so, Clay, I got to go to another caller, but thank you so much.
Peace be upon you, and you guys keep up the great work.
You too. Take care, bud. All right, so let's get to another caller here real quick. Good morning, caller. What is your name?
Hey, it's Gabe. I'm back.
Hey, Gabe. Thanks for calling back. Sorry, we are running on the end of the show, so let's keep it short.
I thought I could be on the show, but when I saw that, I thought it was comedy hour. These people are lost in Hollywood fantasy land, trying to make their own conspiracy theories pan out. I really don't know what to say. I understand there'd be a lot of military people there doing that because they were brainwashed to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to overthrow the government with your guns or whatever you think you're going to do. This system is too large, making money for too long, using the people for too long. You're not going to overthrow this government. It was a joke. They're taking selfies. I'm like, are you serious? Do you think the FBI is going to track down all these people?
Every last one.
I mean, you guys are. I mean, when you said it was the slow people, that was the negativity towards slow people. You know what I mean? I couldn't believe it. You know. And I understand what white privilege is, being a 47-year-old white American. But I know the history of this country making money off of the people. You know, the Asians built the railroad all the way to California, and then the airlines got rid of the railroad because they wanted to make money. You can't even take a railroad to the other side of the country, hardly. You know, they got rid of the first country in the world to ever have a transcontinental railroad, and they got rid of it for the airlines. But anyway, it's all about money in this country. You clowns aren't going to change anything with your zip ties and your guns. And it was the inside job. And whoever doesn't believe that, it's bull crap. And this is going to get whitewashed, swept under the rug.
I don't think so, Gabe. I think this is a turning point.
It would, but it's not, because we're having a different president come in. You know what I mean? And these people should be labeled as terrorism, domestic terrorism. There should be no Trump party. There should be domestic terrorism. Anything that has Trump is a domestic terrorism. You got guys with Nordic tattoos and dressed as Vikings and stuff.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. You're American. You're not Nordic. You're a Heinz 57.
But Gabe, you have to say 74 million people did vote, and not all of them are terrorists, right? Like, I have family members who voted for them, and they're not racist. They just thought that.
I know a lot of party line people voted for the guy again, but there's a lot of people who never want to admit that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They'll stay on the same, you know, long way to get somewhere, even though they know they're going the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I know a lot of, you know, you guys know that people cross party lines. Because this guy lied about the virus. He's a liar. He's a con man.
Yeah.
Everything about him is fake. His hair, his tan, his money. He's just a...
Whoa. That tan's natural. Don't get me started.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that these people came out and did what they did. Because now everybody knows what they're about.
Just like Ms. D said, yep.
Yeah, you guys have a good day.
You too, Gabe. You take care.
Thanks for your call.
Wow, so jam-packed. We are getting on here at the end of the show. Coach Don, just some real quick last thoughts.
Go Bucks.
Yeah.
And don't forget, this is our time, all right? We are going to the Super Bowl. Mark my words, we are going to destroy New Orleans today.
It would be the first time ever if Tampa made the Super Bowl as a host city. That'd be pretty amazing.
We are going to the ship.
All right, good luck to TB12, Godwin, all those guys, Jones, everybody.
Evans,
who's
Gronk.
Evans is my man. I love Evans.
Antonio Brown, let's go, Bucks.
So, yeah, good luck to the Bucks against their perennial rivals, the Saints.
Yeah, we got this. I believe in you, team.
And so I think, you know, I don't know what the COVID protocols are in New Orleans right now, but my guess is that there won't be many fans, if any, in the stadium.
I think 9,000.
Yeah, so because that is one of the loudest domes in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So not having fans actually, I think, is an advantage for the Bucks.
Yes, so we'll
see. But yeah, so you've been listening. We went off the rails there for a second, but you've been listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. Simon texted us, I would love to debate Clay, but it would not be much of a challenge. Thank you, Simon. I'm sure Clay will have something to say next week on that. And then 74 million people voted for Trump, and all of them aren't racist. That's the question. You can't go to the Klan picnic for the potato salad with raisins and not be a racist. That's a text message. Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
It's kind of has a point.
Yeah, but I don't know. And so with that being said, you know, peace be upon you, as Clay likes to say. And, you know, I wish you all the best. Best of luck to the Bucks.
Yes.
Stay warm today. It's a little chilly outside. You've been listening to the Urban Cafe, and we got the Sunday Forum with Walter and his crew coming up. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We really appreciate it.
Though we gotta say